Hello and welcome to another episode of Corks Talks, where I talk about anything and everything of interest to me, whether that be political, economic, social, technological, legal, environmental, cultural, you name it, I'll speak about it. Today's episode is not a review. Shock horror. I'm on, I guess, a 1 week reprieve from events because I've been going to so many, and I really love, like, I'm addicted to education. Like, I'm in love with learning, so taking a break from this is never real. I'll probably review a book tomorrow or something, as opposed to a theatre production. But I guess this is more of a progress report kind of podcast, mainly because, you know, I've had some good wins lately, and as much as we document the bad and the angry and the sad, it's also nice to document the positive. And so pleased to announce, about 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago today, I was promoted and given a pay rise, which is great, you know. Some more remuneration for my pockets, more money to spend on things I like, empowering for my self-esteem. You know, I always say that, like, who I am is not really governed or determined by my job. But as I always say, if you're spending 8 or 9 hours a day somewhere, you would want it to be productive and you would want it to be rewarded. And that has happened, if only fractionally, it's something. And the spirit of gratitude is such that the more grateful you are for things and the more giving you are, the more you get. Because funnily enough, a day before I got the promotion, I was going through my gratitude journal and had seen, like, the things I had intended for, like, 2021. I haven't literally touched this gratitude journal in years, like, literally during COVID times. And all the things I was grateful for there. And then I thought to myself, okay, so what am I grateful for now? And then I just wrote these, like, random tidbits, not to have any idea that the next day would literally be a promotion and a pay rise. So good on that. Interestingly enough, I also went to an event yesterday, and it was just a bunch of women, female founders who have launched businesses and were speaking to an audience of about 80 to 100 women in the industry about, you know, fighting fear. It was in celebration of International Women's Day, which is always a fantastic occasion to get together with women. And there were some, like, key tidbits of information that really sat with me, and it really was, I'm not gonna, without being, like, rude, it really was your generic, like, self-empowerment boss lady brunch type energy. Like, the drinks were flowing, the canapes were yummy, women are standing there ready to be inspired. And I always tell people, like, try not to go to these events too much, because sometimes you just get addicted to the thrill of being there. You're not really doing much. Like, in the sense that the effort that you need to put into creating your craft or being invested in whatever you want to do actually gets taken away from you because you're spending so much time in these spaces, making yourself feel like you're doing something. But then again, on the flip side, I would say that networking is a major part of pretty much any career and any life moment. So it is a life skill that, you know, if you can master, you'll be great. For me, I skipped the welcome reception. I went for the talk and the Q&A, and then I bounced. Just because, like I said, I've been at a lot of events lately. A girl is tired. And I've been to the London edition before. It was at the London edition hotel, but it was in the basement. I've initially been in, like, the punch room, etc. So I'm very familiar with that area. It's not too far from my workplace. It was a good stroll. I learned a lot. But I will, like, rehash some of the things that were said to me, because they are important, and they are reminders to yourself of what you need to be. And I try not to take it too literally. Sometimes, you know, with neurodivergence, you'll be taking things word for word, and in reality, it doesn't always work out. But there were a few powerful points that I was like, okay, cool. This is, like, actually, this is actually actionable. It's useful. And it's definitely something I can incorporate better. So something that was, like, a running theme across all of these women was trust your gut. Trust your gut. And the way I interpret that is, if something isn't for you, like, if you don't believe something is aligned to you, trust that. It's so easy in this day and age, particularly as a woman, when you're Black and when you're neurodivergent and all of these intersections, you start undermining your own belief system. You're like, oh, surely I'm overreacting. I'm hysterical. I'm blowing things out of proportion. So all of these feelings that come with, like, not being fully sure about something I would say if you're having a major reaction to something, you're being triggered constantly, you really have to assess where that's coming from. That could literally be something that you need to confront a therapist about. That could be something that you need to manage in your own self-regulation skills. It could be a combination of the fact that this trigger is like not a healthy environment for you to be in constantly. And yeah, you do need to like recalibrate and actually ask yourself, is this where I want to be? So it's a bunch of questions that are really useful to really send yourself back to yourself and ask yourself, why am I not trusting my gut? Why am I reacting like this? And how do I solve it? A nice statement that was made was be more authentic. And I think that leans into like what I said before, whereby if you have a value system, a belief system by what you want to work by, how you like to do things, don't be afraid to present that. Don't be afraid to lead with that. Because at the end of the day, the more you spend time conditioning yourself to be like somebody else, it just takes away a lot of energy, it takes away a lot of time, and it doesn't honor who you are, right? Like, I know how I work, I know what I like to do, I know what kind of person I am, so I can only, like, be that. A lot of people around me are completely different. I think the issue is when other people project on you, other people try to get you to be like them, or try to get you to, like, be conditioned, and, yeah, I've had to build up, like, so many walls around myself to be like, no, I'm not going to become like that individual, not going to happen. Like, it's hard. And I think the more you spend your time in certain environments, the harder it is. And also when people say be authentic, you're like, but I don't know myself. Like, maybe you are just someone who's a new grad. It's the first job you've ever done. It's the only job you've ever done. It's the only industry you've ever been in. What do you have to compare it to? And that's why I'm a big advocate for, like, you know, hopping around, not being afraid to pivot. But these are the things that come with age, time, and experience. It's not something that you're going to get on the first day. Even 10, 20 years into the job, you won't necessarily be there. One of the women is a founder of a tequila brand called Maya Jules or Maya Jules. She says she did 20 years in asset management and finance. And you could tell, like, by how refined she presented herself, like, that she has kind of worked the room. Like, she knows how to conduct herself in the spaces with the big hitters. And I find that you will find a lot of people who will tell you that they've come from a very corporate background and business is still very corporate. So they're leveraging those skills to put in new spaces. And I guess that's the beautiful part of, like, having transferable skills, but that's also not being afraid to leap. You know, being in those leadership or qualified positions or ready for that promotion means that you're going to be doing things that you weren't familiar with. You need to be open to that. And that will bring out another side to you. And that doesn't necessarily make you less authentic. It just means that you're growing and learning, which is key. one of the women, Anne Lemass, she was actually the hotel manager for London Edition. She was talking about be more dog, right? And be more dog was a funny statement because she was basically saying, like, you know how dogs, when they're in a pub, they are just completely disarmed, they're sniffing each other's butts, they're licking each other, they're all on top of each other, they're bloody humping each other, like, it's a lot of familiarity. But she meant, like, I guess, have a bit of, I wouldn't say bravado, but have a bit of chutzpah to you. Like, don't be afraid to not even necessarily command, but even just ask things. Like, and that kind of leans into trusting yourself, like being able to put your hand up, engage, ask a question, take on a new role. Like, just Don't be afraid to say, hey, this is what I want. Worst case scenario, you're going to get no. I mean, God knows, I never got acceptances until I got rejections, you know? I think of Viola Davis's statement. I'll never forget that scene in How to Get with Murder where she's talking to this guy that she's dating and they're talking about, like, rejection. And she was like, I'm a dark-skinned black woman. Bro, all I know is rejection. Like, that hit, because it's like you're going to get people saying no to you a lot. It will be academic, it will be institutional, it will be romantic, it will be social, it will be people shutting you down constantly. People you don't even know will align themselves with people that hate you just to, like, remind you by association that you aren't worthy. And as Viola Davis says, you don't need to earn your keep, you don't need to earn your worth, like, you are worthy by default. So these are key things for me to remember as I go through life. Just be your best self, you know? You can't be someone else, right? I just don't think you should fake it. A good point that Ambrogelisa van der Berg mentioned, again, another founder of a tequila brand, said, collaborate with those that have power. So she was basically, she said it, like, quite hysterically, but she was just like, use men. And you're like, what? This is an International Women's Day event. What do you mean, use men? But she was absolutely right in saying that the people that have the power and are already in the spaces, listen, if they're giving you like a free token, take it. You know, like these, I mean, I'm not really the kind of person or the kind of individual that wants to do the speaking engagements anymore. Like, I kind of did that years back and I just, I'm not interested, like, whatever. But if it gets you in the room with the right people, it's an access code, you know? Get that extra paper, get that extra paycheck. People are going to call you names, right? But the mortgage doesn't discriminate. Like, you still need to pay your bills. Of course, that again aligns with your principles, though. Like, if it's something that you're completely against and you don't want to endorse and you don't want any association with, decline the opportunity. Like, don't be endorsed by that individual, don't associate, don't connect. But also understand that it's your life. Like, capitalism is inherently immoral, and people are always going to do things to serve themselves individualistically. It's never going to be for the benefit of community. It's just not like that. But you just have to be able to do the things that allow you to sleep at night. That's the way I see it. Like, if I can't go to bed at night knowing that I've done this, that, and the other, then I failed. Like, if a company I completely want to dissociate from, never want to be engaged with, wants me to do something for them, I have to align with my moral values and say, hey, yeah, the rent / mortgage is due, but I can't afford, like, my reputation is worth more than associating with this brand or individual. Do you get what I mean? Like, you just have to ask yourself in terms of ethics and morals what you're willing to do. And that very much aligns with, like, what I said about the authenticity. But it's also something that you're learning, and you will grow into becoming a more assured person, hopefully. So richer people, men, white people, whatever, like, the people that have these powers, if they're lending you something, I'm not saying take it. Like, basically, you've got to be more dog. You've got to sniff it. You've got to ask yourself, is this something I actually want? You know, assess it, lick it before you actually take it in your mouth entirely. Do you know what I mean? And I guess, yeah, that's what I would say. I think it was Sofia Abramovich. She had literally just come from maternity leave. 7 weeks out, right, she came to this event. And she's a co-founder of Dusk App, which is a tech app. And she was like, don't count yourself out. Like, you're in the game. You're already kind of there. Do you know what I mean? Again, it came from my background in finance, heavily male-dominated. And, like, from the beginning, she was like, you just can't let shit get to you. It sounds mad, but, like, you are a contender. You are in the room. I get what people used to say about imposter syndrome, but I just never used to gel well with that phrase, because it puts the onus on the person who feels excluded rather than the environment that's supposed to make them feel included. Do you get what I mean? Like, oh, it's this syndrome, it's your disease. It's not my disease. It's you lot have the issue. Like, you make it very clear that I'm not supposed to be here by the things you say and the way you look at me and, like, the way you present yourselves and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not in cohesion with you lot. Now, for me, I've, again, built up a wall to it. Nowadays, I wear my headphones in the office. I'm so far removed from what goes on. I don't engage in gossip. I'm just here for the paycheck and going home. But you can see how people find it really offensive when you're in your own world and you're not engaging with them, especially the nature of the industry I work in, which is all about being smiley and friendly and engaging. But sometimes I've just got desk work to do. Sometimes I've just got admin to do. Like, I'm happy to have a chat in the kitchen, XYZ, but my workload is increasing, hence my promotion. So I don't want to spend a lot of time engaging with people just for the sake of smiles and goodwill when I've actually got deadlines to meet. Some people can do both. Congratulations to them. I'm one of those people that can't fully do that. My work will suffer. Like, it's happened before. I know how I am in that respect. But one of the women who was a founder and CEO of, like, a hospitality organization that basically endorses people from marginalized black backgrounds, so particularly black Asian people, she spoke about putting yourself first as a key skill. And that was basically your health and your well-being. No one is going to prioritize that but you. If you have an issue, let it be known and take that day off, because no one is going to send you home. Do you get what I mean? Like, the way capitalism works is it's immoral and it's unethical. But you have to kind of understand your body and just be like, hey, let's get out of here. Another point that Katina FM Aziz made was be patient, which I found quite interesting because I'm always on the fence of how long does it take for you to actually say to yourself, this is enough, I can't do this anymore. And I saw this funny meme on Instagram where this woman was like, how do I know when to cut people off? And this guy was like, how much poison can you drink before you die? Like, you don't want to get to the point where things are almost like irredeemable, incurable. When you start noticing a pattern or trend of like sickness or things going bad, you do have to like recenter yourself and ask yourself, hold on, is this worth it? And you don't necessarily have to wait it out. Some things are worth waiting for, others are not. You know what I mean? Patience can get you places, absolutely. But I guess when she said patience, she didn't necessarily clarify what kind of patience. It could also be patience with yourself. You can be very frustrated about something. Things aren't going over the line. And I have a big belief that things do work out on their own. Like, technically, things are working, you know? But that is not always the case. I say that in the respect that, like, nothing is ever that deep. But some people are working careers where things are very deep. And if they make mistakes, a lot of people die. Or a lot of people get sick. A lot of people suffer. But also, waiting things out just sometimes allows things to get worse. Sometimes your situation, like, I guess it's only patience that you can apply when you're actually still doing the work. You're still trying to improve the situation. Don't let things fester. Don't let things dwell and get worse. That's what I would say. Yeah, another point that Sophia Abramovich said, which I kind of echoed before, don't let things get to you, which, again, you're a human being. You're going to be hurt by things, but there's a necessity to be resilient, to bounce back. You know, if every little misdemeanor knocks you down, you're not going to get very far, babe. Like, you really have to kind of build, I wouldn't even say a thick skin. Your skin is your skin, but you have to build a bounce back kind of mentality where it's like, okay, this didn't go right, let's pivot, let's move forward. Just constantly have to be moving. It's partly why I'm always at events or whatever, because regardless of how I feel, the world is still going on. I still deserve leisure, I still deserve enjoyment, and I should engage with that. I also want to learn, you know? So yeah, I've had a shit day. Yes, I'm tired. Yes, I'm low on funds, but it's like, but I know I'll get something from this. And this will give me a lasting feel of dopamine. And that's really what I've been like honing in on, which is my my sources of dopamine to really stimulate me and get me going. Because I feel like I've gotten such a discipline of, you know, I'm reading more books, I'm reading a lot more articles, my writing is getting better, my reading is getting faster. I feel more knowledgeable in general. And these podcasts obviously help me refine the way I speak and present myself. But it is really key to just know, hold on, this resilience took a long time. I wasn't always like this. A little minor moment that was like an infraction on my self-esteem, on my well-being, would have been me cancelling everything. But I've said to myself, like, you've got to put yourself to the wire. There's opportunities out there. You kind of just got to be open, you know? And again, that kind of leads into my next point, which is being prepared to pivot into different spaces. Again, that's the openness. It's easy to just be so limited in your mind, saying, I don't want to really do anything beyond what I'm doing. I like how life is right now. That's great. That's fantastic. But we should be stretching. I feel like the reason why I get so fed up and annoyed with so much content out there, which is influencer, social media stuff, or like literally things that are in print, things that are on TV, broadcasts, general, right, traditional, is because people aren't inventive. They're not imaginative. They don't think beyond the limits of what's been presented to them. You really kind of do have to go into fiction. Like, you really have to go into fantasy, and you've got to be wild with it. You've got to kind of create new canons and new constructions that others haven't done before. And it's going to take a lot more time, energy, and effort. But we're not here for the short term. Like, I need to do an episode. I don't know if to make it a separate episode or to worm it into this, but I've been reading Yapoka Yibo's book, Anansi's Gold, and it's basically about John Akablamieza, who is one of, like, the most infamous scammers, let's say, of all time, let's say, by Ghanaian standards at the very least. And I just can't get over how brilliant that book is. That's so brilliant that the reporting is phenomenal. It's deliciously written. It's prescriptive and descriptive at the same time. It's so thorough and careful and comprehensive, and it worms so many different scenes of like this ideology of what it means to quote unquote make it. Like, how many different errors in our humanity, let's say, conspire against us. Like the whole, okay, immediately having money means someone has a higher status than others. The legacy of the chiefdom, which is of course in African culture, a naturally hierarchical status. And then we've got things like, I would call it like the laddish boys club culture, where it's like, I can vouch for an individual because they went to my institution, or I've met them multiple times, and like they could be guilty of numerous felonies, but this just idea of familiarity or of association that makes people feel like they know people. It's like, that's how someone like John Akablemieza can like fool the world, outfox Washington. Do you get what I mean? That book is brilliant. I'm so annoyed that the author's not like a super visible person, because I would love to hear her speak and just her insights on like life, because this is coming from someone who just genuinely understands how to report on a story as rich as that. And also, it makes me look at other people's content and say, you guys ain't even touching like what the levels are when it comes to stellar reporting, like phenomenal reporting. Like, and that's no shade to the freelance journalists out there, that's no shade to the staff editors out there, like that probably sounds really cruel, right? This girl went to Columbia School of Journalism, of course she's gonna be like superior in her form of elocution and journalism. However, she's also just took the time and energy to really involve herself in a subject matter and present it accordingly. Like, it was a very sensible book. It's like, it's a book that for a lot of people, this character, this individual, this man is completely unknown to them. So this is a tome of information that they're learning. But this is also very much a showcase of how when you are invested or interested in something, you can kind of use the institutional apparatus to inform and build for your own benefit. You know, now we've got a story about Ghana from a girl that's been Western educated. And I'm not the kind of person who thinks hierarchically and says, you know, the stories that your grandmother told you are not equivalent to the story that this girl from Western institutions told you. It's actually quite the opposite. Like, I'm of the belief in generation that I can ask my parents about Blamieza and they can tell me the same things that this girl was writing in the book. Like, that's how good it is to be able to like have that connection. But also just fully be aware of the fact that you can use what you've been taught for your own benefit, for your own people, which is really great. And kind of leans into what the girl was saying at the event, Amber Javisa, which was like, you know, use the privilege of other people, let them collaborate with you. Don't let them water down your idea. That's not it. It's literally using the apparatus to get ahead. And then I guess that would lead us to our next point, which is owning your mistakes. Own your mistakes. When you fucked up, just be able to say, hey, I fucked up. Like, life sometimes gives us hiccups. We are not always in the right. Things don't always go perfectly. That is actually okay. Like, as long as nobody dies, and even if somebody does die, you are probably not dead. And if you're not dead, then that means amends can be made. You know, that probably leads into forgiveness, forgiving yourself, forgiving others. Not always actionable, but something that's worthy of at least aspiring to. What guilt that you carry is beneficial for the rest of your life. Unless you're seeking some kind of penance or repaying some kind of debt, in action or deed, then it's just a weight on your shoulders. It's just a burden. You know what I mean? So, I guess to some extent, make it useful, make it productive. If you're gonna feel like shit, I'm not saying like write a book about it. You ain't got Taylor Swift the situation. I mean, like, if you're gonna feel bad about something, then just maybe, I guess, see what you can do to make things better or feel good, you know? And so owning your mistakes is a key part. Focus on your niche. That kind of links with what I was saying about Yepok or Yibo's book. Please align with kind of what you already know. Like, you can be a master in your own story. I think of all the like Greek and Roman books out there about mythology, and these are like really saturated markets, and no one is saying you can't put a spin on it. No one is saying you can't be like original and jump into that mythology and literature. No one is saying that, but there's also just a lot of untapped stories that you could probably be really good at and demonstrate in a way that others haven't done, at least not in the mainstream way. And I think that's really enjoyable for me when I read that. And when I learned that, I really like that personally. I think having that courage is a major thing, you know? Saying, hey, yep, I know what's out there, I know what's popular, and I'm just going to deviate and say what I want to say, is very rewarding. I can't get over the fact that so many people have identified like the autistic traits of Mamet in Jessica George's book. Like, they put a word to the behaviours that, like, most people probably would have just seen as, oh, she's just annoying, or she's just particular, or she's just weird. And it's a word that wasn't even mentioned in the book itself. So it's just so crazy what we can psychoanalyze and identify when we're not in the position. I don't know if Jessica George herself knew that she was writing an autistic character. I don't even know if she, whether she perceives that she did. It's just very, very funny, like, what stories can do, like, what light they shed on us internally, to do the way they're told. So that is key. Which was literally lean into your feminine power. Now, I'm not one for really gendering emotions. Like, I'm not the one to say, oh, being masculine is this, oh, being feminine is this. Like, I don't really gender emotions like that. But what I will say is that don't lose touch with your humanity. Like, there was a lot of mention about there is divinity and compassion. You know, understanding that, yeah, there's a woman on maternity leave. You don't need to be this brash, masculine. And when I say masculine, I do mean it in a negative context, because the idea is that when men in particular want to show authority, there can be a bit of meanness. There can be quite a lot of cruelty. And a lot of women have mimicked that. And it's like, you can show authority in other ways that aren't as brash, you know? There's a sensitivity, there's a recognition of humanity. A woman that is carrying a baby inside of her might not be the easiest person to manage in terms of many different social, biological, cultural ramifications. And it's okay to regard that, like, as, you know, she's a human being, you know. Men and women aren't the same. We've been conditioned differently, but we are all humans, so we know what pain is, we know what strife is, we know what struggle is, and we can support one another, particularly in very vulnerable moments like pregnancy. Another point that was made was acceptance of yourself. Radically accepting yourself is a key way to progress in life. That's something that I had to do, and when I did, I felt a lot more assured. And I think people, they're almost offended when you're assured in yourself. They're like, oh, but you're not insecure, you're not worried. It's like, what is there to worry about? What is there to worry about? Like, if I'm worried, what's the worry going to do? You know, it doesn't benefit me. It doesn't benefit anybody. It just means I'm worried. I'm wasting energy. I'm expending energy on something I can't control. Let me release it. And of course, that can make me appear like quite careless or like inconsiderate, which I can appreciate and accept. But also just like, when we don't have the power to do everything, I'm not saying do nothing, but just do what you need to do, do what you can do. If you can't do everything, do what you can. You know, I was just reading some article that was for work, but just aligns with the personal life. This woman wrote an article for Stylist magazine, and it spoke about the let them theory, which is basically the theory of letting people do as they please, in the sense that when they come to you as they are, let them be who they are. If that person ghosts you, let them ghost you. Don't ask them why and bring them back. It's a reflection of how they feel, or it's a reaction to how they feel. Is it always rational? No. Is it the best manner of behavior? Probably not. But the time and energy we spend like trying to change other people, like, it's just crazy. It's like, we don't need to do that. I don't need to go about filibustering, telling everybody my thoughts and feelings about things, because I'm not trying to convince anybody of anything. If you want to believe that, you want to believe that. You have to come to people, especially as an adult, to some level fully formed, like in the sense that you have your beliefs. Doesn't mean you're not open to suggestion, doesn't mean you're not open to sway, but if your only form of communication is literally debate and deliberation, I just think I just don't. I'm not a big fan. Everyone's different. Some people find it really like quite sexy, quite attractive, quite like, oh, like, let's debate. Personally, for me, it's just not that great. I just don't want to expend energy with someone who clearly doesn't align with my either goals or my beliefs and wants to try and trick me into believing what they're believing. I'm always open to new information, but I have to consider where a person's coming from, like what are their sources, and then I'll make an informed decision. And even that informed decision, I won't necessarily share, because is it your business how I feel? Whole another story. So yeah, that leads on to the next line. Be okay with rejection. Now, there's actually a woman in the audience who actually spoke about this, where it's like, when you're okay with people saying no to you, it is quite empowering. There are going to be people who just don't get it. Like, you're going to be like, I have a vision, I have an idea, whatever, and they're just like, doesn't really wash with me. But technically, most of the time, you only need one yes. You can get 500 people denying you, right? For whatever reason, a job application, a romantic date, a pay rise, a promotion, a bid on the house, whatever. Someone's going to say yes at some point. So technically, usually, someone is going to say yes. It might take a whole of a long time, but it should happen. So be open to that. A nice point that was also raised was being able to celebrate others and also allow yourself to be celebrated. I'm one of those people that really struggle with perception. I don't know how people perceive me. It's like a block. It's like a wall up. Like, I don't understand like what they're seeing. But I'm realizing that it's okay for them to like gas me, as they say, gas me, compliment me. Is it necessarily going to raise my spirits? Maybe, maybe not. You know, but in the right circumstances, being acknowledged for the good that you do is a nice feeling. I'll say that. Like, keyword right circumstances. I feel like we get so bogged down with being celebrated and being congratulated, we kind of forget why we do things. Like, we're almost doing it for the satisfaction of other people praising us than the actual action. You get addicted to the attention. It's like, I don't want that. I just want to do things and do things well for me. And if people notice it, great. And if they don't, like, cool beans. What is the next point? Vouch for yourself. Yeah, definitely, like, that's a hard one, because sometimes you think you're not the smartest person in the room. Aisha Dadgal, she was one of the speakers on the panel. Vouch for yourself. You know what you know. Sometimes you don't know what you know. Like, sometimes people ask me something, I'm like, I'm sure I've forgotten this. So I'm learning, I'm training myself to, like, basically have a better memory for the things I've done, because it is easy to forget. Journaling is very helpful. Journaling reminds you of what you've done during the day, so you realize you haven't bloody wasted everything. These podcasts are really helpful for me. Like, they're daily records or weekly records or fortnightly records of the things I've done. So I will never ever get to a point where I'm like, oh no, I have nothing to prove it. Like, I've got tons and tons of evidence to prove what I've said, expressed, felt, etc. So it's really important. I've got trust your gut on this list again, which is funny because it's just a reinforcement of trusting yourself is vouching for yourself. Being more aware, that was a key point that I feel like I struggle with. Like, I am very much me in my own head, doing whatever like suits me or pleases me, but there is a power, there is a generosity in considering others, and it helps you in the long run. So it will be something that I will try to focus on. I expend a lot of energy sometimes trying to figure others out, and there's a line that you have to draw when you're doing that too much. It's like, no, this isn't really working. But like, for the long run, it is important for the people that are in your life to just like show up and be there for them, be more aware of what they're doing, be more aware of what you're doing, how you're coming across, and just like temper that so that you're not like, no one wants to offend people, no one wants to like negatively impact people. But I have found though that I'm becoming more fierce about my boundaries, in the sense that I'm doing things that suit me. Someone will call me and I'm like, you know what, I'm actually not free, so I won't answer the phone. you know, and that wasn't something that I would do before. I'm willing to sacrifice, but I also have to realize that my own development and my own personal health and my own regard for myself is just as important. I do not want to be a filler in somebody's day. I don't want to be a chat on the way somewhere. Like, if you're going to have a conversation with me, it should be intentional, it should be present, and it should ideally be physical. But that's something that I'm trying to practice, you know. Part that comes from vouching for yourself is definitely learning your craft. Most of us are pretty much just as educated, if not more educated, than the people around us. So if you've been taught just like anybody else, you're in the spaces like anybody else, you know just as much as anybody else, usually. Like, we're taught to think that we don't know as much by virtue of being a woman, and then, of course, all the other marginalizations that come with, you know, being a minority. But chances are you know more. Like, you probably know more because you not only know the white dominant, which is what we're all taught, you also know the minority narratives out there, the things that other people don't consider. You have a perspective, a vantage point that others don't have because of your experiences, and you can use that to your advantage to some extent in some situations, you know. So you really do have to empower yourself, knowing that you know the dominant and you know the recessive, you know the, like, the, you know the major and you know the minor. That's a very complementary picture that a lot of people don't have. All they know is the dominant, all they've seen is all they've learned. They're not around people like yourself. I have the fortune of having so many friends from so many backgrounds that I can really engage with a lot of different people on a lot of different topics, which I like. I like being well-rounded. I don't know if it was an intentional thing, but I find that a lot of people I was actually connected with are all from, like, really oppressed countries or, like, really oppressed groups, whether that's due to religion and being, like, from, what do they call it, a certain sect, or being from countries that are literally, like, war ravaged, like, from ethnic groups that are completely considered as, you know, inferior or, like, oppressed by the state. Like, real stuff that in London you might not fully appreciate, because everyone's from some kind of background. They're all here for a reason. Like, most of us came as economic migrants or refugees or something like that from somewhere. But it's really enriching because it gives you a wider view of the world that you don't normally have. It's funny because I had the view of all the poor oppressed people and I had no view of what the rich folk were doing. And now I have a view of the rich folk. I'm like, oh, wow, so that's how the other side live. You guys ain't worried about nothing. That's mad. Lucky you. Learning your craft but not being afraid to make mistakes. And again, that's it. Like, even when you know everything, you're still gonna not know things, and that's okay. Learn, be open, be appreciative of, like, new knowledge. Don't let fear lead you. That's a great one. Sometimes we do things not in the interest of, like, progress and success, but in the interest of fear. That can be diminishing yourself, that could be doing the most, that could overcompensating, I'm gonna lose this. Like, don't have these mentalities, these scarcity mentalities. Like, you have to see it as you are capable of so much, and you can contort and change and adapt. I remember reading Eloisa Ashunde's book Vagabonds, and she says one of her pieces on, like, maybe, like, the White Review or Paris Review or one of those kind of websites. And she basically said, you don't have to, like, kill all the parts of yourselves that you want to get rid of. Usually when you stop paying attention to them, they just kind of drift off into the wind. So, like, basically focus on the parts of yourself that you do want to change and adapt and grow, and the other stuff will kind of shrink on its own. Like, or if, even by scale alone, they will shift. Focusing on that, like, that gratitude, that positivity, that abundance mindset. And I'm not a mindset bandit. I know that if you're homeless on the street with no money to your name, no family, no support, having an abundance mindset is not probably very practical. It's just words. It just sounds like extra. However, knowing that that might be rock bottom and that there's only up to go from there is a feeling that you can start with and then hopefully aspire for something more. Do you get what I mean? Like, it's not a case of if you change your mindset, everything gets better. Like, no one wants to be homeless, no one wants to be alone, no one wants to be lonely, no one wants to have no money. That's a fact. That's a material fact. And if you are in those conditions, I guess what a lot of people would say is just be grateful for life. Yes, but it is a difficult life. It's not an easy life to live. And in no way am I like condoning that kind of approach to people who have actual material deficiencies. It's more so to do with the fact that the people around us, like the people around those individuals who are so marginalized and oppressed and struggling, we should actually be looking at them, like, how do we help them? How do we raise them up? But very much a case of that individual has to have the belief that someone can support them. So even you just maybe giving a token of something that you have, some level of charity or support, can make them feel like, you know what, actually there are good people in the world. There's a man that stands or sits outside of Black Horse Road, and he's homeless. And I've seen people go up to him and have chats with him, engage with him as a human being, because bear in mind, he's probably getting very minimal social interaction. They give him food. I've seen like him being given like clothes, etc. It's real. It's like there's a level of humanity there, and that individual understands with their own generosity, with their own conscience, that people deserve love or care or recognition. And what we can do for people, not saying it's going to be enough, not saying it's going to save everybody, but it's something, and something is better than nothing. So I think I was saying, don't let fear lead you, and hone your passions. So I had a little break. Don't let fear lead you. Do things for the reasons that will make things more abundant and more beneficial to the masses, or to yourself if you're on that self-personal development journey. Honing your passions is very much about learning your craft. Strive for something. Always endeavor to actually do something. It's key to our growth. It's key to our energy and effort output. It can get difficult, you know, life can be quite hard to manage. I feel like when we're always thinking about the big lofty questions, we don't get time to actually say, you know, let me focus on the little things I can do. And often those minor things become major things, and we build our reality. Is that these big questions take a long time to answer. And no, unfortunately, the answer won't come quickly. And if they did come quickly, they wouldn't be like age-old issues, you know. But yeah, we're living in a world of, I guess, short-term gratification and lots of ideology. And so many different factions and so many differences that I think we sometimes lose the bigger picture because we're so focused on the little things, you know, like, we need more progress as a collective, and we need more options to heal and grow. And yeah, that's basically key to what I've said in like most of these excerpts. A few other points I've had on this list are like actualizing your ambition. So just admitting what you want for yourself and then striving for it unapologetically. Being ready to sacrifice, you know, who you are today might not be who you were last week or last year or last month even, just because life changes, you are getting busier, and there are some things that will become less important, which is what I was talking about, the whole when you're focusing on growth in certain areas, other parts of you will just kind of fall away, and people are going to miss it, people are going to be upset by it, people won't be pleased by it, you might lose them, but life goes on. Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to remind yourself why you're here. These journeys that we're taking, some of them are more solo than others. Betting on yourself is again a whole trusting yourself. Don't shrink yourself. I've definitely mentioned that. Worry less about compliance. So don't worry about complying and making other people like you and agree with you, because I thrive on unlikability. Like, people not liking me is usually a sign that I'm doing something right, because it means it's not in their favor. If it's not in their favor, then it's probably in mine, because at the end of the day, some of us live in opposition to the world. But do what is right. Not always just for you, like, no one's saying be selfish, but I just find that particularly Black women, we're always doing so much. We're always doing the most. Like, come on, take some time back, take some energy back. Championing your knowledge. You know you're smart, you know you've got expertise in this. Value that. Respect it. Respect yourself, you know. Be more human. We don't have to go by the approach of what we're told is a good boss or a good employee or a good leader or all of these kind of things. Honor our true selves, whether that's what you call your divine feminine or just being more human. We have a lot going for us in this world, and God willing, we have a lot of time. We can really make significant changes and move forward. Like today, I worked from home and I reserved so much energy. I felt so, so good. And then I was so tired. I really wanted to journal, but I just didn't have the energy. But I'm like, I have tomorrow. You know, I could just do it tomorrow. Like tomorrow, I've got no events, got nothing to do on the weekend. I'm giving myself enough grace to just defer something because I really want to journal. I've got so much to say in my head, which is why I'm making this podcast today. But like, there will be a time. Like, you're not running out of time. I mean, sometimes you are. But like, it depends on how long you're deferring it for. If I do a weekly journal entry, that is not a negative thing. Ideally, I want to do daily, but I haven't gotten to the level of energy that I need to do that properly. But also sometimes you start something and it gets easier as you start doing it, as you continue. So we'll see. Maybe I'll finish this episode and go straight to the journal because it's only 9:40. But yeah, anyway, thank you for listening to this episode. It was a bit different to my usual. I'm going to call this the progress report and just like share the general life updates once in a while in amongst the theatre and book reviews. Definitely going to do a book review of Yapoka Yibo's and Nancy's Goal, just because I think it's phenomenal. And then I've got a few other books in the pipeline that I shall be reviewing, a few more theatre productions. We're out here, baby. We're out here. So yeah, thank you for listening. Take care. Bye.